6:34, Tuesday evening in Lansing. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michael Cohen. Well, Michigan State University's Facility for Rare Isotope Beams project getting two reviews as it proceeds, one from the U.S. Department of Energy Office of Science, the other from the National Research Council, that essentially say it's a critical project and it's being well managed heading into its 2019 completion date. Dr. Thomas Glassmacher is FRIB's project manager. He joins us now. Thomas, thanks for taking some time to talk to us on WYLS.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
You know, I have to stop the interview on this point. The sound on the line is a bit difficult. Now, you gave me another number. Can we call you at that number? Would that likely work better?
Okay, so you can call me on my cell phone, 214-1037.
I got you. We'll call you there. Call you right back. So, yeah, let's try to get him on there. Just I hear that feedback, and I can imagine that 10 minutes of that might be a bit tricky. But, well, look, we're going to talk about FRIB. You've certainly heard about it. And, well, the question I'm going to be asking Dr. Glassmacher is, what are they going to be doing? And they're hopefully going to explain it in layman's terms, because I'm guessing that when you break it all down, it's a bit too complicated to fully grasp, and certainly in 10 minutes. But call a cell phone, yeah. Whichever. Yeah, I mean, that's a different number, right? I'm talking to my producer Jesse. We're just rearranging it, so we hopefully can get a line that we can hear him clearly on, and that will be momentarily. But there are a lot of questions. The first question would be, what are rare isotope beams? And even if you Google that information and try to get a grasp of it, it can get dicey. So hopefully he can get us a better sense of it. No, I think we're still rolling, but is he picking up? Hopefully he is. Still not picking up? Okay. If not, we'll take a break, and I'll give you the number I have. And if that's the right number, yep, no pickup. After this interview, if we get to it. Okay, yeah, let's take a break, and I don't know what's happening here. Yeah, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hold on.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, this is so great.
Uh-huh. I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so obvious. Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Okay, so we're back. Michael Cohen, 1320 WYLS. I've got Dr. Thomas Glassmacher. He's the FRIB project manager. That's Michigan State University's Facility for Rare Isotope Beams. So, you know, when someone asks you, Dr. Glassmacher, what exactly is going to be happening in this facility? What are rare isotope beams? What kind of, I guess, layman's term response do you give them?
Well, there's about 2,000 isotopes known at this time on Earth, and with FRIB, the Facility for Rare Isotope Beams at Michigan State, we'll be able to make another 3,000 rare isotope beams. And rare isotopes are those isotopes that are continuously made in stars in the cosmos and that used to be available beyond Earth, but that have since long decayed.
So what is it about this facility that is going to take so much time to build it, and what is the infrastructure of the facility going to be?
Yeah, the reason it takes so long to build is because it's a one-of-a-kind facility. There is no blueprint for it yet, except for we developed one. But we had to pull together experts from all over the country and the world to build this unique one-of-a-kind facility. The infrastructure in the end is going to be an underground tunnel about 70 feet wide, 600 feet long, and 40 feet deep. And in that tunnel, we'll put a superconducting accelerator that can take any element from hydrogen to uranium and speed it up to about half the speed of light. And then we impinge those elements on a piece of carbon or and it breaks into all kinds of pieces. And out come these rare isotopes then that live or exist for a split second. And we'll make those available to researchers that are going to come from all over the country to study those isotopes.
Does this process emit like a high level of radiation?
There's some radiation. It's not a high level. It's some radiation, but we manage that radiation. And the thing is, if you're outside the facility, you can camp out there 8,000 hours a year, 365 days if you want. And you're only going to get about 3% more radiation than you would just from living in Lansing.
No kidding. And what happens inside the facility? Are you going to have to take some careful precautions?
Yeah, we'll have some thick walls, and we won't go in there when the accelerator runs, but it's not like a reactor in the accelerator. When you turn it off, most of the radiation goes away, and it's not self-sustaining, and it can not get out of control. But we don't want to have people in there when it runs.
I'm talking to Dr. Thomas Glassmacher. He's the project manager for the Michigan State University facility of four rare isotope beams set to be completed in 2019. So how does this facility compare to something like these colliders that we've heard about?
Yeah, so the colliders, they had big news this week. The colliders study what's inside the proton and the neutron. They look at the quarks. We study at lower energies than the colliders. We study what's inside the atoms. We're looking at leaving the protons and neutrons intact, and we see how many protons and neutrons can you stick together to make rare isotopes. And with that, we can make elements, and we can make elements with specific neutron numbers. We make these rare isotopes and make them available to in research quantities to researchers who are interested in it.
Now, from what I know, the FRIB is going to increase our understanding of the origin of the universe, the formation of stars. Do we already have a pretty good guess to what those answers are, or is that kind of thing simply completely unknown?
Well, we have some guesses, but if you talk about the origin of the elements in the stars, and they're continuously being made now. The forms that these elements are made in are the kind of rare isotopes that are produced at FRIB. And scientists nowadays, they don't really know the properties of these rare isotopes because they've never been studied on Earth, because there's no place right now where you can make them.
No, I mean, what is the practical use of this knowledge? I mean, how is that going to translate to I guess, used by human beings for technological, medical advances, and so on?
Yeah, if you talk about medical advances, there's about 20 million procedures each year in the country on rare isotopes. With effort, we can make new rare isotopes that can be used for diagnostic and therapeutic purposes. And we can make it very quickly, and so we'll make research quantities. While we can't treat a lot of people, we can make small quantities that we give to doctors. They figure out what works best, and then a more economical way to make larger quantities can be developed. So in addition to the medical applications, there's applications in material science, in national security, and in biology. There are other scientists that are not nuclear physicists want to use these rare isotopes to advance their knowledge.
The price, the final cost of the project, is that already known?
The final cost of the project is known, but it's not baselined, as it's called, which means the Department of Energy has not signed off on the cost. Because if it's a one-of-a-kind facility, we're working in an envelope, and then we developed a design, and we have now completely developed a civil construction design. We're about half done with the technical design, and the approximate cost is $680 million, which includes about 30% of contingency. With these long projects, it's hard to know where the economy goes over the next couple of years, so there's some uncertainty in the price.
I mean, how close has the entire thing come to being shut down because the money simply isn't there on the federal level?
I don't really know, but right now we're doing good. We do enjoy, with this project, bipartisan support in the Senate and in Congress and within the state with the governor. And when Michigan comes together, as it did for FRIB, and pushes things forward, good things happen. We were visiting with the Department of Energy last week and discussed with them how we go forward.
Well, one last thing, I do want to get your viewpoint on this big news that tomorrow apparently the experimental results from the U.S. Department of Energy's Tevatron collider near Chicago will be announced. It's apparently going to potentially bolster the case for the existence of this Higgs boson. It's a particle that's key to understanding how the universe was built. How big of a deal is the data that's going to be revealed tomorrow?
Well, I think it's a really big deal because the Higgs particle is the particle that's still missing, and it supports the model of our understanding, our current understanding for particles. And the folks in Chicago, in Fermilab, they've worked on it for a long time, and they've made some discoveries, and then the folks in Switzerland have some new discoveries they're going to announce tomorrow. I think it's a really big deal for science and also for the humans.
When you work in this field, this high-end technological field, do you find it many times that laymen, those of us who are not scientists, simply cannot fully or just will not be able to fully grasp the details of the kind of work you're doing?
Well, that may be so, but it's really our job to try to explain it, because in the end it's all taxpayer money we're spending, and we do need to explain to folks why this is a good investment. So I'm trying, and I think we're all trying, and we do appreciate the support the public gives us in advancing this basic knowledge.
I see. And now the facility will be completed in 2019. Could it be another 5 years, 10 years before anything really practical comes out of there?
I don't think so. I mean, one of the criteria we were given by the Department of Energy, we need to have a world-leading science program on day one, and that's part of our design. So I think by 2020 we will have first discoveries that hopefully add value to people's lives.
Well, it should be interesting stuff. Dr. Thomas Glassmacher, he's the project manager for Michigan State University's Facility of Rare Isotope Beams, said to be completed in 2019. Dr. Glassmacher, thank you very much for taking some time to talk to us and explain some of this.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back to talk to the author of the book, Hypocrites and Halfwits. He's an economics professor. I'm going to ask him who are these hypocrites and halfwits, and we'll talk about the economic impact of the healthcare law that's been now approved by the Supreme Court and many other things. That is next. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.